Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 276 co-main event. Please check out my BT Sport breakdown if you haven't, because that's got loads of footage crammed into it, of course. I'm going to chat a little bit in this one, because I want this to kind of be a compliment to the other show. There's a lot of other stuff that doesn't go into that show that gets bouncing around in my brain, and with this being such an interesting fight, there's a lot of different talking points. Of course, you know, they've fought each other twice before. The second one in particular was a very close fight. People still debate it. You can debate it in lots of different ways. There's a few different ways that it could have been scored, especially based on scoring criteria and how fights since then have been scored, which will make sense when I clarify in a moment. So bear with me. Quick tale of the tape. So the champion, Volkanovski, is 24-1. That one loss on his record is worth mentioning because it's at welterweight. So, you know, we can practically scratch that. He probably shouldn't have been fighting at welterweight either because he's 5'6". Although Matt Serra would tell me different. Well, Matt Serra's 5'6 as well, believe it or not. Anyway, so Volkanovski's 5'6", but he does have a 2-inch reach advantage. Holloway is 5'11", but he's got very narrow shoulders. He's got long arms, but he's got narrow shoulders, so that takes away some of his reach. Whereas Volkanovski's a bit shorter, but he's obviously got those broad shoulders, which puts some length into his arms. Very similar on the knockouts and submissions, as far as their MMA game is weighted. 12 TKOs for Volkanovski and 10 for Holloway. Three submissions on Volkanovski's side. Guillotine, rear naked choke, and a triangle. Two guillotines on Holloway's side. One thing that's worth mentioning about them, Volkanovski's got three submissions, but they're all outside of the UFC. He's not had any submissions in the UFC or against UFC-level opposition. He is wicked on the ground. He's got great ground and pound, but it's very much an anti-jiu-jitsu style. Not that I really think he's going to have to use his grappling too much in this fight. I mean, I know we've seen Holloway use his grappling a little bit in his fight against Rodriguez, but I expect this one to be another banger, to be honest. And if anybody's taking it to the floor, I think it will be Volkanovski doing the aggressing, which means that he's not really going to have to be dealing with the bottom ground game of Holloway. Anyway, we'll get onto that in a minute. Holloway's finishes by submission have both come in the UFC, Andre Feely and Cub Swanson. So it tells me that their game is kind of built in different ways. Like Volkanovski has gone rugby, striking, ground and pound, this is my game. Here's a cool submission, guillotine, rear naked choke, triangle. I'll learn these submissions in the early in my career and I'll use them against guys when I've got in these positions. But as the opponents have gotten better, his career, his style has become much more narrowed down to what he's good at, which is a high volume of striking, switching stance, peppering his opponent, and then wading forward with bigger shots. And if he feels like the best route to beating the person is on the ground, then he'll put them on the floor, up against the fence, and use really good anti-clinch to just smash them with elbows and big shots. That's what he does really well. Holloway's a striker. And is a striker that added takedown defense into his game because, of course, when people are fighting Holloway and he's throwing 10,000 punches at you, most people want to start grappling with him, especially in his early days when he was coming through and towards the UFC. When his takedown defense got good enough and his confidence was there, then he added guillotines onto it as like a supplementary finishing technique. And if you think back to the Cub Swanson one, you know, he was able to wrap it and chase him to the floor. It was a really nice guillotine. There might be circumstances in this fight where he is chasing the neck of Volkanovski purely because of the height difference, especially if Holloway's starting to have his way and he's throwing a similar number of strikes like he did against Calvin Kattar. You might just find Holloway up against the fence, just level change, and then there's a guillotine attack there. Like, you can't count them out. I do think it's something that's worth keeping in mind. It is also worth mentioning, of course, that Volkanovski did almost get guillotined and triangled by Brian Ortega, and he was able to get out of them, which says a lot for his grappling credentials. I think he is a very good grappler, but it's much more about, no, you can't do jiu-jitsu, I'm going to punch you in the face. You know what I mean? It's far less about you know, actually grappling with people. It's about holding them down and beating them up, which I love. Anyway, so their first fight, Max is coming and defending his belt, and he just didn't have a good start. And Volkanovski he just nailed his game plan. I mean, you know, they came in against Max Holloway, who had been sitting at the top of the division. He'd been outclassing and outpointing everybody. And Max has always been a builder. You know, he starts out steady in the first round. His output's not huge, and his accuracy's not huge. His strikes landed is not huge. But then as the rounds progress, he gets more effective and more accurate. And his work rate increases as well. So all of his stats go up as the fight goes on. So usually that first round is a little bit slow for Holloway. But Volkanovski started off really well, landing low kicks, hammered the lead leg, and moving constantly. So Holloway never really felt like he could get started. It was like Volkanovski was using this timing where he would step in and hit him with a couple of shots. And then before it felt natural for the next combination to come, he was already stepping in and going. He used it against Aldo as well, constantly revving the engine and pushing Aldo back and forcing him to react. And then just before he starts thinking of his own attack, he's under fire again. Like, that Volkanovski needs to show up against Holloway and start out pretty fast, because the easiest rounds to win against Holloway, in my opinion, are the first couple. That having said that, you know, obviously the Calvin Kattar performance, you know, changed us a lot. But that first fight, it was a comfortable win for me for Volkanovski. And I've gone through the first fight and the second fight, and I scored them by round, although I am not an official judge by any means. I understand the scoring criteria best I can, and I have long conversations with people to try and help me understand it better. But it's still very much very objective in certain circumstances. The first fight was clear. Volkanovski was able to outpoint, outmaneuver, and just outpace Holloway comfortably. Where are my other notes? Like, I scored it per round and per minute, just to see if it changed my judgment of the fight in any way, and it didn't. So I have Holloway winning the first minute of the first round and then losing the rest of the round. So that's a clear Volkanovski round. Volkanovski then dominates the next two rounds for me, wins every minute of both the rounds. But then the fourth and fifth rounds, Holloway's in it a little bit more. Like, he wins the last 2 minutes of the fourth and then the second minute of the fifth. And I know this is very specific, but I go through these processes sometimes, because if I'm watching a fight over and over again, I like to give myself a different way of watching it. So, like when it gets to the end of that minute, you've got to go one way or the other. Who won that first minute? Well, that was a good strike. And then you kind of start weighing it up, and you start breaking the fight down into like bite-sized pieces. It's very difficult to do that when the fight's live, don't get me wrong. You have to score the round as a whole. But when you get to the end of a fight and you know that it was competitive, sometimes watching it in slow motion or watching it in double speed, which helps sometimes, believe it or not, will help you see some more patterns and some more, I don't know, the way that the rhythm of the fight goes, the way it sways from one fighter to the next sometimes. And in the first fight, for me, it was pretty much all Volkanovski. It was a dominant performance, and it really set a high bar for Max to reach next time he came in. So then the second fight, which for me was a lot closer, I thought Max started really well first and second round, which is uncharacteristic of him. Like I said, he started very well in the first and second round, but he wasn't able to do enough damage to Volkanovski to slow him down for the third, fourth, and fifth. And this is, for me, where Volkanovski really showed that championship quality, because he switched his game plan almost entirely in the second, in the third round, and he started mixing in takedowns. And not that they have to be effective, because most of them weren't, but it throws something else into the mix for Holloway to think about. It's a different energy system to him just hitting the bag. Like, I mean, this is something you can try if you want. If you don't do MMA, but you're a grappler, try this. Hit the bag for a minute and then go and grapple with your mate for a minute, and then hit the bag for another minute and see how you feel different afterwards. But that change of energy system, the blood fills up in the muscles from all the gripping and the isometric contraction, and you feel kind of heavy. And you could see Max Holloway start to wilt in that third round. Like, but the other thing you have to bear in mind is at the end of the first and second round, Max Holloway scored knockdowns. So then, how do you score those rounds? Do you score them 10-9? Because they were all scored 10-9s on the scorecards. There were no 10-8s. But for me, Max landed a good head kick, which put him down. That could have swayed around. In the second round, he landed that clean uppercut as Volkanovski closed distance. So, and I'm looking at this from Max's perspective as well, because you're thinking you're going into the third round. And he was also talking to Anik, and I've never really got the understanding of that, because I can't imagine Anik would have said anything like to upset Max. He's just not that kind of commentator. But it seemed like Max was like making a point of looking over at Anik and the commentary team and saying something like counting the rounds. That was one for me. So going into the third round, Max has felt like he's closed out the first and second rounds with knockdowns. If I've hit those techniques, I know that I feel like they've scored big. So he might feel like he's at least, at least a point clear before it goes into the third round. But then Volkanovski comes out and shuts him down. Third round was all Volkanovski. So then Holloway goes back to his corner and he's like, oh, okay. Now he's made the adjustment. Now I'm not able to put such a pace on him, and now he's thrown takedowns into the mix. So he tries to claw that fourth and fifth round back, but I still score both of them to Volkanovski, even though I give Max two of the 5 minutes out of both of the rounds. Again, I know it's very specific, but I get, Volkanovski, first and second minute, Holloway, third minute, Volkanovski, fourth minute, Holloway, fifth minute. That's the fourth round. It swings back and forth. It's very, very competitive. After that, though, they both went away and fought two different people. And this is where we kind of circle back around, and this is where it gets interesting, because the first fight is one frozen moment in time of these two people, where they were. Were they training over Skype? Was it during the pandemic? Was the gym open? What was going on? Doesn't matter. The versions that we got at that time was Max Holloway as the champion and Volkanovski as the challenger, and Volkanovski blew him out of the water. Like, Max he wasn't able to muster anything really in that first fight. So Max goes away and he comes back in the next round, in the next fight, and he's like, okay, I'm putting it on him in this fight. I can't leave any doubt. He wants his belt back, but he also wants to make an example of Volkanovski. So he starts really well in the first, second rounds, knocks him down both rounds. Then he comes out in the third round and Volkanovski's now switched his game. And when I say switch the game, like, they both did this as well. Because in the first round, Volkanovski landed a load of low kicks. 47% of his strikes were to the leg. Max only landed 12% of his strikes to the legs in the first fight. In the second fight, he landed 30% of his strikes to the leg. So Max immediately has gone, Volkanovski's low kicks were effective. I need to drop that back into my game. So Max has made that adjustment. But Volkanovski went from 4 takedown attempts in the first fight, all 4 of them failing, to 9 takedowns in the second fight, with 3 of them being successful. So that's a shift in energy system. That's points on the scorecard. That is Max being forced to work in ways that he's not really wanting to, especially in the third, fourth, and fifth. It'd be better doing that in the first and second, really, when he, before he starts to pick up his pace. But he came out in that first round to start with a good pace, because he didn't want to be outpaced by Volkanovski again. So uncharacteristically of Max, he started fast and he just couldn't maintain it. But then, as I said, now they move on, they fight different people. So it's been 2 years and they've fought two people and they've both got 2 wins. They both look great. They've both shown improvement. So again, when they circle back and face one another, what's going to happen? I expect it to be another really competitive fight. I expect them both to be able to push one another in ways that nobody else has been able to, which is, for me, very exciting. So the next fight after that, which was 6 months after their second fight, was Holloway against Cater. The stats for this are just off the charts. Like, if you put all the stats of Max Holloway's career back to back with all the fights, this one stands out by a clear, clear margin, which it not only tells you that the amount of improvement that Max Holloway had made from the second Volkanovski fight to the Cater fight, but the determination that he must have had to go from throwing 303 strikes in the first fight to throwing 268 in the second fight to throwing 744 against Calvin Cater. That is quite a jump. Just put that into perspective for you. Against Cater, he landed 445 of 744 strikes. against Volkanovski over two fights, he landed 268 over 571. So he's almost outlanding himself by double. It's amazing what a pace he was able to put on Calvin Kattar. So he didn't get any 10-8 rounds for the two fights, first and second round that he had against Volkanovski. Against Calvin Kattar, he had two 10-8 rounds in that fight. There was a 250-43, sorry, no, sorry, three. There were two 54, I'm making a mess of this. There were two 50-43 scorecards and a 50-42. So three of the rounds against Kattar were scored as 10-8 rounds. That was how dominant that fight was. His output was incredible. From the first round, maintained throughout. And the other thing that was an adjustment from Max is that his pacing was similar to what Volkanovski was doing. And he did it a little bit in their second fight, but he wasn't able to maintain it. But against Calvin Kattar, he just ate him up. So if he's able to then throw 744 strikes against somebody, and he can now bring that pacing against Volkanovski, that's a whole different fighter to what Volkanovski's faced in the last two fights. But then on the flip side, Volkanovski's faced Ortega and Korean Zombie, and he's been hit less in those two fights than he was in either of the Max Holloway fights. See, and I know I'm throwing lots of stats at you here, but this is where it gets quite interesting, because Max's output has gone off the charts. Volkanovski's strikes absorbed per minute has dropped significantly. So we've got one guy's solution is, I am going to throw as much at you as possible and see how much you can deal with. And the other one's gone, you were hitting me too much, I'm not going to let you hit me as much anymore. I don't like getting hit quite as much as I used to. Like, it went from 88 strikes from Ortega to 48 strikes from a Korean Zombie. And his output is dropped as well. It's not like Volkanovski's landing more strikes and taking less. Like, he's throwing and landing less. But he is also doing a lot more damage. He also is also really hurting people. Okay, so the next one is Volkanovski against Ortega. So this is 8 months later than that. And again, you know, he was able to put an absolute clinic on him, aside from the moments where it got a bit airy, where he got his neck tangled up a couple of times, the guillotine, the triangle. It gave me a lot of confidence because I saw really, really good submission defense against someone that most people can't defend submissions against. So that puts his ground game on a really high standing, which means that I don't think Max is really going to challenge him there unless he gets hurt and he gets tangled up with his neck, because Max has got a good guillotine snatch. But then Holloway goes in there against Rodriguez, and he shows really good close range defense against someone that was quicker than him, that had a more variety, more varied skill set, and he was able to stay pressured and stay close to him. And, you know, he was always over 50% accuracy. He landed nearly 30% body shots in that fight, and he landed takedowns, 3 of 5 takedowns. You know, six and a half minutes of control, something like that. Like, you've got to think, like, that's an evolution for Max now. Like, he's now reading his opponents better, but he's also varying his own attack. So he's adding other things to his game. Like I said, I don't think he's going to take Volkanovski down. I would be very, very surprised if he did. I'm up for being surprised. But I think it would be a massive waste of energy, because Volkanovski is a powerhouse. So then we wrap up with Volkanovski against Korean Zombie, which was April of this year, UFC 273. And it was like Volkanovski had come in there with the intention, kind of like he did against Brian Ortega, came in there with the intention to knock him out. Like, he's trying to make statements in his fights now. He was throwing that right hand over the top like it was a hand grenade. And he was able to land cleanly on Korean Zombie, because he was, first of all, he was so quick. And second of all, his attack is so dynamic in its direction. Like, he's never just standing in front of you and he just throws. He's always drifting slightly from one side to another. And he has that little kind of head shift that he does. It's like an owl when he does it. Like a little like head shift that he does. And so that line in front is always changing. And what I like about the Korean Zombie, but also something that holds him back, is he knows that his power trade is very good. So you could see the respect that Volkanovski had for him in the opening round in that one. But it got to the stage where Volkanovski realized he was too quick for him. So then it became a little bit like, you know, a little bit shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, to the point where, you know, Herb stepped in and stopped it, even though he was still standing, which, you know, as you know, they have to be nearly dead when he's refereeing. So it was just getting too easy to hit him. And you're watching these massive shots cracking him, and he's like, I mean, it's really difficult to tell which version is going to come in. I think if Volkanovski comes in pitching right hands like he was against the Korean Zombie and against Ortega, I think he could exhaust himself. But I also think he's smart enough to not do that. I think if he looks at the two fights, he knows that the outpacing of Max is a possibility if he starts off on the right foot. If Max starts off on the right foot, he's like a big snowball that just gets bigger as he rolls downhill. You're going to struggle to get ahead of that. 744 strikes. I mean, it blows Volkanovski's strike stats out of the water when it comes to strikes thrown, strikes landed. You know, what's that? 214 landed against Ortega and 138 landed against Korean Zombie. Like, even those two fights don't total the same as what Cater received from Holloway. It's outstanding, that is. You've got to think the kind of conditioning that you're able to put together with that. This is why the grappling's got to be a part of Volkanovski's game plan. Because you get into a kickboxing match with a confident Holloway that gets off on the right foot and you're going to struggle to get ahead of him. But if you start making him wrestle and grapple and defend takedowns, yes, you've got to defend your neck, but you're also making him use energy systems that are going to tire him out much quicker. It's the smart thing for Volkanovski to do. Who knows what's going to happen? I am excited for this fight. I love it when we've had two fights and they know a lot about them, about each other. Because then I'm sitting here wondering, what's Holloway thinking of Volkanovski? Like, what's he thinking his training camp looks like? And like, if you're Volkanovski, you're thinking, what's Holloway's impression of me? What's he expecting from me? And like, I could sit and I can go through these conversations all day, which is why I can rattle on at you guys for like 30 minutes nonstop. There's so much to be assumed when you've got two guys that have faced one another before. It was the same with Wei Li against Joanna. With it being such an exciting fight and such a war, and Joanna receiving that massive swelling on her head and, you know, all the talk and the celebration around that fight afterwards, how were they feeling going back in to potentially run back one of their most exciting but also one of their most traumatic fights? You know, same thing with Holloway here. That first fight stayed with him. That second fight, he feels like he got robbed. He came in there and he practically retired Calvin Kattar, like to the point where Dana's like telling them that he got to get into the hospital instead of the interviews. Like, that shows you that it was a different level of Max Holloway. But then I feel like we've seen the same thing from both of them in both of their last fights. I think we've seen new levels from both of them. So them coming back to face one another now, 2 years later, very, very exciting. I, for one, am looking forward to this card. It is absolutely stacked. I could have done War Rooms for all of these. I know that some of you are going to request the Strickland Pereira one as well, but there's just not enough time in the day. But I hope you enjoy these. Make sure you check out the main and the Sean O'Malley Munoz fight. I have done both of those as well. So 3 War Rooms for this one. Make sure you check them all out. And give us a like and a subscribe. It does help. All right. Thanks. Catch you next time.